What day is today? Is it Wednesday? It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Yeah, it's hard to tell today because we've got some changes. Dan's headed to Troy, where they're having their preseason basketball banquet. Of course, Dan is the voice of Troy women's basketball. So he's not here. Have you got headphones working? Good deal. Coach Don Dunn, back from a trip down South Florida.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Went great. Had a great time. Caught some fish and just relaxed and kind of quiet. Not a lot of people down there, you know, with school back in.
Yeah, it's a great time if the weather permits.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah, we had great weather and had some longtime friend from Louisville came down, he and his wife, and we had a real nice time. It's good to be back. Big game this week. You can already feel it in the air. Georgia-Auburn, oldest rivalry in the South.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it is a big, big rivalry. You know, one thing, it's funny, I saw a note the other day. You were talking that the last few times you guys have been planning on heading to Florida, hurricanes hit.
Yep.
I saw that this is the first time in, decades, I believe it's since 1960, that there had not been a hurricane affecting the Gulf of Mexico during the month of September.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and knock on wood, the last 3 weeks, years we had planned to go, and we got canceled. So, let's hope they stay away a couple more months.
Yeah,
the end of hurricane season.
And so it's Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, and Drew is at the controls. Our normal third party here on the mics in the control room on most Wednesdays is Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, and he is over – what a beautiful day it is for it. He is over watching baseball practice, and he said he could be with us for a couple of segments. So we're going to get Jason on here momentarily as soon as we connect with him, and we'll talk with him. Jason had a sit-down with John Cohen. We'll mm-hmm. talk about that. Don's thoughts on that as well, but we'll obviously talk some baseball and the matchup upcoming with the Georgia Bulldogs on Saturday night over at Jordan-Hare Stadium. First time these teams have played at night at Jordan-Hare since 2012.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Yeah, that's a great atmosphere. No doubt it's to our advantage to have a home game at night. It's just going to be electric and two good teams. I think we're evenly matched. I think we got the advantage with our defensive line versus their offensive line. I know they've got some more injuries,
yeah,
and they're young.
They've had some guys banged up, and they've played the last couple of weeks while Auburn is coming off an open date.
Exactly. So looking forward to that Saturday night game. I can't wait.
Yeah, so we'll preview that with Jason and talk about it, obviously, with you, our listeners as well. But we're going to go ahead and get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and welcome in our regular Wednesday co-host who's over at the baseball stadium, Sanford Stadium, Hitchcock Field at Plainsman Park, where Auburn fall baseball practice is going on. JC, how you doing today?
Doing good, guys. Yeah, it's a little different. There's probably close to 30 scouts here today.
Wow.
And this is kind of their scout day. So they did, you know, first base to second, kind of some running time runs, and then they did some BP, and now the scouts are starting to work their way down towards the field because when they start the squad games, they'll get to see guys pitch, so they'll move behind the plate and watch guys throw. So I think this is obviously draft eligible guys, but the young guys got a chance to do something too. But you know, for this team, a guy like Chris Rembert's a draft eligible sophomore, mm-hmm. so this is a guy that's going to draw a lot of attention today. But got some older guys, especially some older arms that they'll get a look at as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were talking about pro day in basketball not long ago, and you hear about it in football. This pretty much what this is today, and I think it's also an indication of the talent that is on this roster now, and that Butch and his staff have brought in over the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You look at it, and especially with, you know, this is the time of year where basically the largest scouting, not combine, but scouting tournament of the year is down in Jupiter, Florida, and it's going on right now, and these scouts are here instead. So that's a pretty good sign that, you know, that's the high school scouting. But to get that many guys here, yes, it shows you that they feel like there's some talent to watch on this team, and so they'll get a chance to see some of these older arms today. Some of the draft eligible guys, like Mason Cook, Jet Johnson, some of those guys will get a chance to throw, and then obviously a couple of the transfers they'll get a chance to see. But just a one-stop shop to be here for some of these guys, maybe that are outside the area, to kind of get a look today.
Oh, yeah. Talking with Jason Caldwell here in the opening couple of segments on the Wednesday drive, and we'll get to football in a little while. But let's go ahead and stick with baseball, Jason. I mean, this is a really interesting squad that Auburn has. Right now, they're about 50-50 returnees and newcomers, and some really strong returnees, and they had some inter-squad games over the weekend, and a couple of the returnees that fans really didn't get a chance to see last year apparently had good outings over the weekend.
Yeah, now there's been some early on, some guys, whether it be pitching. We saw Jackson Sanders has probably been the best of the pitching performances so far. Sophomore from Valley, obviously,
right.
A guy that got a little bit of time last year, left. He's really talented. He's been one of the names in another local guy. Brandon McCrane, that redshirted last year, was an outfielder, has really swung the bat well, can play the infield too. His younger brother, Mason McCrane, mm-hmm. is a really talented, guy coming in as a two-way player. But, Brandon's done a good job so far of kind of throwing his hat into the ring a little bit, as well as a guy that can swing the bat. So, it's this time of year where you start to kind of get a feel for some of the guys on the roster, and maybe some of these guys that you haven't seen as much from, this is an opportunity for them.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to get over there and watch any yet, but it sounds like health-wise, I mean, it's a good situation. A lot of times, there are multiple players that aren't able to be going here in the fall, but it sounds like it's pretty much go for just about everybody.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I put a note up a little bit earlier.
Oh, I hadn't seen it.
They had a collision over the weekend, and Andrew Madrigal is one of their top transfers. Had a knee issue, and so may have to have some surgery. So
I didn't see that.
That would be a big blow for them.
Yeah.
Obviously, Todd Clay is a guy you brought in, Auburn High School guy, can play first, and you got some other options. But it would be a big blow, obviously, if he's a guy that's out for a while.
Yeah, no question. All right, so who are some of the guys that have you mentioned a few names. Who are some of the guys that have caught your eye here early on here in fall workouts?
Yeah, Bristol Carter's had a really good start. We saw, he played really well a couple of years ago at East Carolina, and had a wrist injury kind of start his Auburn career last fall, and never really got into a rhythm. But he's had a good fall so far. Has been pretty good. And I think Ryan Farber at shortstop coming in from Texas State, the transfer, has been kind of as advertised, and so I think he's had a good start to his Auburn career. But getting Eric Guevara back and kind of getting on the field and healthy is obviously a big deal for this team too, to kind of get him going and get him rolling. So, Cabaloo's healthy, looks like kind of his old self. So
yeah, that's good.
That's been a positive. And then on the mound, it's really hard to tell. Like they got some guys with some velocity. Obviously, Connor Gatwood's a guy that everybody knows he can throw it. I think he touched 100 over the weekend. Mm-hmm. So there were a couple of guys, two guys that touched 100 over the weekend. So there's going to be some power arms for this team, and just kind of see how all these guys kind of come together here over the next few weeks.
And that's the thing. I mean, obviously, it appears that there is a much greater depth of big time arms maybe than Auburn's had at its disposal, in quite a while, maybe period.
Yeah, no, I think lots of options. When you look, we're talking about some of these transfer guys and some of the guys that you start to think about, whether it's Marciano coming in from Virginia Tech. Obviously, you added Drew Whalen from Western Kentucky. So you think about that, but there's some guys that return. You think about Christian Chatterton, we haven't mentioned, and Andres Alvarez, two guys that were really good last year's freshmen. There are lots of pieces, and now it's a matter of kind of finding out what everybody's role is. And can Connor Gatwood come in and, hey, can you say, hey, go be a closer? Can
yeah.
you come in and throw 99,
100
miles an hour?
He's got the stuff to do it, yeah.
Two pitches and try to gas people up at the end. I mean, those are things that they'll get a chance to take a look at. But No, I do think there's a lot more options on the mound for this team as you kind of get rolling.
That is great. And a great day to be out watching it today.
It is gorgeous. I think it's still a little bit touch warm, but it's not too bad. And looking forward to these next few days.
Oh, yeah.
And looking forward to the weather Saturday night, because that'll feel a little bit more like Auburn, Georgia weather. Not quite as cold as it used to be when it was at the end of the season, but it's going to feel like football, which is nice.
Yeah, I'll take it definitely over some of the weather that we've had late November with matchups against them. Yeah, we will talk about Auburn, Georgia, and more. Just getting started. Got another segment with Jason coming up. We'll go ahead and get to our first break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan. Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover joining us from the baseball park over at Sanford Stadium, Hitchcock Field at Plainsman Park. Just Plainsman Park. But anyway, where Auburn having showing for the Scouts before some inter-squad competition coming up. But let's turn to football. As Jason, you know, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, look, it is a huge game coming up, very, very important game coming up for both teams on Saturday night at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Auburn and Georgia, the oldest rivalry in the Deep South, meeting number 130. Auburn trying to snap an 8-game losing streak to the Dogs, who have won 17 of the last 20, Jason. It's been dominant Georgia's way now for a couple of decades.
Yeah, it has, and you're right. This is a big game. There's no way to hide it. It's always going to be a big game, no matter what. But it feels, and I've said this a couple of times, it feels like this is the first time where it feels like there's any real pressure on Hugh Freeze and
yep.
and the program. I think for 2 years, people understood. Look, you know, you can go battle, and you may have a chance to win these games, but you'd have to be perfect. And we've seen the last two games for Auburn. They haven't been anything close to perfect, but they still had a chance to win those games. And that's what this roster gives you. But now you've got to go make a play to win a game. That's going to be the key. Can you go make a couple of plays to win games? And, you know, I think about, you know, obviously a much different time, but I think about Ronnie Daniels and Devin Aroma should do and some of those things, like go make a play.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's what you have to do in a situation like this. And I think they got guys that can do it, but I think they got to get put in a better position too. Here's what you're not going to do. You're not going to line up and run it 55 times against Georgia and probably win the football game. But you got to line up and run it sometimes.
Yes.
And so I think that's where it starts. You got to show them that you're willing to run the football. And Don, you know as well as anybody, especially Texas A&M, it felt like that way that they weren't concerned at all about Auburn running the football, and they just kind of pinned their ears back and took off. And that's a tough spot for an offensive line to be in, and it felt like they were, you know, kind of keeping their head above water for 60 minutes the other day. You can't put them in that situation again, and you got to be willing to run the football. That's where it starts for me.
Yeah, I agree. Bill and I were talking before the show. That's exactly what we both said, Jason. We've got to run the ball, take some shots, hopefully get the ball across the middle. And the passing game a little better.
Somehow manage first down.
Yes.
I mean, you've got to be where it's not just second and long so that it's not third and long like it's been. It seemed like just about every time the last couple of games.
Yes.
Yeah, no question. Here's I wanted to ask Don, because I've been thinking about this, as a defensive coach, tempo impacts what you can do on that side of the ball, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, no doubt.
And that's one of the things I think to help out an offensive line. I think Auburn has to get back to using some tempo, because it takes away some of the ability for the guys on the other side to be really exotic on what they do defensively.
Right.
You got to show more base stuff. You just got to get lined up.
Yeah, exactly.
I really think that would help this offensive line and this offense. And the other part of it, too, I think it helps is it's really hard for an offensive lineman to stand there for 12 seconds in a stance while you're changing plays and you know it's third and eight, and you know they're coming, and you're getting more antsy, you're just going to have those situations. And so I think get to the football, use some tempo, get to the line of scrimmage, and limit what Georgia does defensively would be a big step in the right direction.
Jason, I really thought that 2 weeks ago Alabama's tempo affected Georgia. They looked like they weren't quite ready a few times when Alabama was going tempo. And then Alabama, once they got to the lead, didn't look like they did it as much in the second half. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and here's my thing. I went back and looked, and you know, like, well, you're always worried about, you know, giving the ball back to your offense and you know, and not running any time off the clock. You're already doing that.
Yeah, that's right.
if I'm already doing that,
yeah,
then I'm going to go out there and give myself the best chance. So I don't know if they do it all the time, because I thought the slowdown early to start the second half, I thought they found a little rhythm doing that too. But I do think that at some point you've got to do it, and I think you've got to – here's the other – you got to be willing to stick to it, and you can't sub. That's the one thing about it. You got to get guys that
yep.
can move around.
Yep.
Because we've seen Kirby Smart, and he's the best at it. If you run subs out there, your tempo's over.
Oh yeah, they're going to take
he's
time. Gonna, they're going to take all the time they can to sub back in.
He's going to jog his guys on the field, yep. and you're going to look up, and there's going to be 8 seconds left on the play clock.
Exactly.
So I think there's some of those things I think are not mechanical. I guess you'd call them mechanical. I think there's some of that too. And the other part I really firmly believe is that when you start talking about who your best players are. There's no question that eight's one of your best players. He's one of the best. Mm-hmm. He's one of the most talented guys in the country. I do think that you have to move him around. I think there's too many times where when you tell a defense where a guy's going to line up, they're going to be able to make adjustments on that. And I think in the last two games, all but twice he's lined up wide left on Auburn's offensive set.
Mm.
Only two plays he's been on the field out of 125 plus. Only twice has he not been lined up wide left. So I think you got to move him to the slot. You got to create mismatches for your offense, and I think he's the guy that you have to do it with.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, with the week off, we've been able to tweak some of those things. And I know they did – I'm sure they did a self-scout. They probably know that. I hope they know that. If
yeah.
we know it, surely they know it. And they've done some, you know, the – first couple of days they did self-scouting. They've had plenty of time to game plan. I think you are exactly right. We have to go tempo. It's just so disruptive as a defensive play caller. First of all, you know, like you said, Jason, substitutions, you wear the D-line out. Home game, the crowd's going to be with us. I would go as fast as I could until they stopped us.
And Jason, Auburn desperately needs to get things clicking early. The last couple of ball games, it's been a struggle. You think about scripted plays at the beginning, and I know things have messed them up. But as Don said, look, yeah, I think the crowd's going to be ready, but they are also desperately hungry for something good to happen to really get into it. And that's obviously what Georgia wants to avoid. Georgia wants to, you know, try to take the crowd out there early.
Yeah, no question.
Yep.
You know what? A little bit of that falls on the defense, too.
Yes, yes.
As well as they played the last couple of weeks,
yep.
that hasn't been the case to start
the
right out of the
series,
gate. They gave up a couple of drives right away. So, like, you need to come out, set the tone defensively and get off the field and get the ball back to your offense. Now, they played great. And look, they played more than good enough to win both these games. But that's the drive of the game has been the first drive.
Yep.
You know, and so I think that's a big part, something to watch for. And, you know, I think, you know, look, there's lots of things to do, lots of ways to go about it, and I agree. And, again, running the football, I think a big part of it, too, is, I think if Jackson Arnold's your quarterback, then I think –
run him.
I think you have to have him involved in the run game more than quarterback.
Oh,
goal.
Yeah.
It has to be – I've said, I to me, like I said, the next game I call as an OC will be my first one, but – when I look at what they were doing in times early in the season, and yes, neither one of those teams were Oklahoma or Texas A&M, but I get 2013 vibes where I'm bringing Nick, you know, where Eck Singleton, I'm bringing Malcolm Simmons, heck, put Jeremiah Cobb in the slot, and I'm motioning 85% of the time across my formation, snapping the ball and making those linebackers and safeties at least have to be wary of somebody else getting the football.
Yeah,
I think eyes are so valuable, and when you disrupt the eyes of a defense, that's how you get creases and create some plays. And I would do anything I could to try to create some of those things on Saturday night.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that surprised me about the Texas A&M game. Not only did Auburn not really attempt to run the ball, they didn't use motion much at all.
No, and I think that's one of the most valuable parts of what this team has, because I think you've got guys like that. Like I said, I mean, you got those guys. You got Bryce Kane, whoever it is. There are some options in that, and so we'll see if they get some more of those things involved. I do think that's a way to create some explosive plays in a run game. You go back and look, and you had a 44-yard run, a couple of weeks ago, at Oklahoma. Last week, the longest run was 6 yards. You didn't run it many times either, but you start talking about, man, it's hard to go create explosive plays and do things when every time you mentioned first downs, and we do a three key things to watch, and mine was first down. Like third down, everybody kind of points to first down is the reason why you're at.
Yeah, you need long. To get to a reasonable third down, first down's critical.
And the interesting thing is that there's only been 4 penalties in 2 games on first down. Like, you've had first and 20 twice, and you've had first and 15 twice. It's just been a lack of execution.
Yeah.
And they've run it some, but not as much. But you've had a lot of runs are quarterback runs, which sometimes may be an RPO that got blown up and he takes off running, whatever it is. But I think you've got to be able to be successful. And, hey, even second and 9 is still an opportunity to run the football. And so I think you've got to take advantage of that. Try to get to 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6 if you can, and give yourself a chance, because right now 3rd and 10 is disaster area for Auburn's offense.
Yeah, you're just asking for it. No question. Hey, we obviously we look at just about everything from Auburn's point of view, but this is a big ball game for Georgia as well. They suffer a second loss here, then they're pretty much in must-win mode for the rest of the year. They can't afford to just take a chance at 9-3. I don't know what their I guess obviously Tennessee would be their biggest win. This is a big one for Georgia as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, you look and you turn around and play Ole Miss at home next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Florida, you never
know. Who knows?
It's a physical team. I mean, at Mississippi State isn't easy. Texas looks like about as winnable game as you have left on this one. It's at home. But then, you got Georgia Tech
and Atlanta.
There is pressure when you lose one now. There's some pressure on Georgia, and hey, all the things that have gone on, you look at it, and it's really interesting, because I was thinking about it this week going, I don't know that if I was Kirby Smart, if I would show them the last two, if I would show Georgia's defense Auburn's games the last 2 weeks. You're like, man, you look at all these sacks, and you go, oh, we're fixing to destroy these guys, when you know this is a talented team. I do think the matchup to watch, you mentioned kind of coming on the air, Georgia's offensive line could have 2 true freshmen.
Right.
You could have a new starter at left tackle. They want to run the football. They want to be physical. I just looked, and you look at them, and they have, their running backs in 5 games, just 3 running backs have combined to carry the football 125 times in 5 games. So they've been very dedicated to the run.
Oh, yeah.
Gunnar Stockton can run it. For Auburn, you look and go, like, you got to make this one a one-dimensional game, and they've done a pretty good job of that. Texas A&M ran it well, but some of that was kind of late in some situations. But I think that's obviously for Auburn's defense the goal. You got to make them throw the football to beat you.
Oh yeah, Jason. Before we let you go, I know you you had an opportunity to sit down with John Cohen. We've got a request in too for him. Auburn announcing earlier that on Monday, that the season opener next year is going to be in Atlanta instead of Auburn. What were your thoughts about what the Auburn AD had to say about the move?
Yeah, I don't know that anybody associated in college athletics particularly likes where things are right now. but you also understand there's things you have to do. And it's like somebody asked me, and I said, listen, I don't know that I would have made the move, but I also understand why it was made. And so I think you can, to me, I think you have to look at both sides of it and go, look, you have to look and go, it's not ideal. Obviously, there's a lot of people, and it impacts a lot of folks in this mm-hmm. community. But you also look at it and go, look, it's a necessary evil because, look, you can't just give money to student athletes after this year. In the past few years, you've been able to do that, going, look, hey, this guy wants this much money, just give it to him. Well, now it's got to come from a legitimate third-party deal, and this is an opportunity to do it. Auburn basketball is doing it, going to that Players' Era tournament this mm-hmm. year. This will be a chance for football to do it next year. And like I said, it's unfortunate, but it's an unfortunate era now that we're in because of the way things are going. I don't think it's going to be the first one of these games. I think you're going to see
other folks
do it too. I don't
think it'll be the last. Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, I think it's one of those situations where, man, if it had worked out to where you're like you were had gotten the 5 home games, 4 road games, then I don't know this as big of a deal.
Yeah.
But these things that you've been working on since probably early in the summer, maybe late in the spring, before 9 games got approved, before the schedule came out, just like as he said, unfortunate luck of the draw. I think we all pretty much already had a pretty good idea that Auburn was going to get stuck with 5 road games with Alabama and Georgia being on the schedule at the
right.
same time, and it happened. It's, again, like I said, I don't think anybody enjoys what's going on and how things are going, but it's a necessary evil now because rosters, and you're going to have these kind of deals to make up because of the salary cap that's coming, and so this is a way for Auburn to be able to do it.
Well, I mean, you've got to be able to. You want to compete at the top level. You've got to have resources that match that top level. The one thing I was wondering, Jason, did you get a chance to ask John? Because I was wondering. Obviously, we've heard talk and talked about, you know, the impact on the local economy and the frustration for season ticket holders. I was just wondering about the impact on the Auburn athletic department budget. I wonder, are they going to be able to come close to recouping what they normally get in ticket sales, concessions, parking, and all the other things that go? Because that's so much of a, I mean, that is a big portion of the, you know, of the athletic revenue for the next year.
Yeah, no, I think that's where you look at it. The new TV deals, all the TV money that's come. I think. You're okay enough probably in that area. I don't think you can make the move if you said, look, this is going to hemorrhage us.
Yeah.
We can't do it. Obviously, you felt like you're in a good enough position to be able to do it. And like I said, like those are things that you're going to have to deal with at some point, I think, in this era where you go, like, there's going to be opportunities to go, like, the money. And, like, again, there's money involved in everything you do nowadays. And so – obviously, and you know, he didn't go specific. He said, look, this is more about, you know, student athlete opportunities, getting them NIL deals, those kind of things. But I think the TV money involved, everything that's involved now with, you know, with college athletics, I think if you felt like, man, our money was going to be hemorrhaged making this move, then I don't think you could have done it.
No. That makes perfect sense. Jason, really appreciate you spending a little time with us. You're going to check out some more baseball for the rest of the afternoon. Just let everybody know what all you guys have coming up as we get ready for Georgia weekend and how they can access it all.
Yeah, like I said, check us out, auburnundercover.com, part of the 24/7 network, and got a lot going on, obviously, previews as get ready for Georgia game this weekend. I'll be out here for a little bit longer, heading to church here shortly, so
sure.
I'll watch for a little bit. They got started. Drew Whalen, the West Kentucky right-hander, is kind of pitching first, so I'm going to watch a little bit more, head out, and then try to come back maybe again later this weekend. But probably, you know, they'll go out again Friday afternoon, but probably go to a high school football game on Friday, so may miss Fridays, but maybe back out this weekend as well.
And we're a week away from Auburn's first exhibition basketball game as well. I mean, there's a lot going on.
A lot going on, like you said, in basketball. We'll get a chance to catch up with us and players tomorrow, and then get a chance to go up there next week to Boutwell Auditorium and kind of check out the Tigers for the first time.
Yeah, it sounds great. Jason, thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover joining us here in the first couple of segments here on the Wednesday Drive. We'll open up our phone lines and love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. You can text us on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number's 334-564-1840. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive. With us here in the studio, we just visited with Jason Caldwell, who's over at the ballpark watching Auburn baseball in fall practice, and talked some Auburn, Georgia with him as well. Love to hear from you, and let's go ahead and get to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Terry is up first. Hey, Terry, it's been a while.
Bill, how you doing, man?
Pretty good.
How's
I'm good.
How you doing?
Good. Great.
Good to talk to y'all. Guys, has there been any more discussion about Coach Freeze's future at Auburn if he loses this game?
There's been a lot of discussion about it. I just, you know, I think it's more social media and talk than it is. I mean, I haven't heard that any of the, you know, folks who are really involved in the decision are, you know, on the verge of doing something. Although, I mean, look, it's hard to say that if Auburn's offense doesn't look any better than it's looked the last 2 weeks, and they if Auburn were to go out and play a non-competitive game against Georgia and the offense looked bad, it'd be really hard, I would think, to find anybody who's going to be very vocal in their support. But I mean, that's sort of the worst case scenario. I mean, this is such a crazy game coming up this weekend, Terry. I mean, I think, you know, if Auburn wins, and it doesn't matter how they win, if they win and they go 4-2. Then you still look at the rest of the schedule and go, hey, this team's got a chance to win 8 or 9 games.
They're right there where everybody said they were.
Yeah, yeah, but if they lose but they look a lot better. I mean, if they lose, if they were to lose 31-27 or something like that, then you might feel like, well, look, I'm tired of being close, and again, this isn't horseshoes we're playing, but you feel like you still want to see what happens against Missouri the next week, because you could still win 8 ball games if you lose, but you feel like, all right, we are turning the corner, but there needs to be something good coming out of this. You need to feel like, all right, we're tired of these moral victories. I mean, that's not going to satisfy anybody. You're not going to be able to pile up moral victories and gain any kind of support.
Yeah, the moral victories don't look real good on a resume, do they?
No, they don't.
I think more. I agree with you, Bill. I totally agree with you. If they look good, and if they look good and lose. I mean, they lose a 28-24 game, okay, you know.
Yeah, it stinks, but, I mean, goodness gracious, it's not like it hadn't happened recently against Georgia. I mean, my goodness.
Right. And I don't know. I just don't know. It's crazy things happen in this game, as you said, Bill.
And the other thing is, I mean, it hasn't really happened here at Auburn. I guess you could look at the A&M game last year, but, I mean, Hugh Freeze has had – he has a history of being able to come up with, you know, big upset wins where his offense is really, really, you know, putting up the points. And he said Monday that this ball game, that loss to Texas A&M, hurt him as bad as any game that he has coached offensively. He prides himself in feeling like he's going to be able to score points. And, you know, they scored 3 offensively, and you know, realistically.
Well, he's an offensive guy,
right?
And that's his MO. But he don't have the pieces in place right now.
I don't know if he doesn't have the pieces or the pieces haven't fit exactly what he's trying to do, and that's been probably the most frustrating thing. I look at that receiving core. I look at Jackson Arnold's ability to run the ball. And I wonder if instead of strict RPO, if they might be better off running more of a zone read or something more of the old triple option type thing where, you know, Jason was talking about putting somebody in motion where you've got that possibility or the handoff or the quarterback keeping or throwing. I mean, I think Jackson would be fine in that. So, I mean, we'll see what they have done And I know that right now there are a lot of people that are very much in Missouri mode going, all right, I'll believe it when I see it. But they've had a little time to try to, you know, try to get some things straightened out.
Well, I didn't know until Jason pointed out the offensive line. They got two freshmen and a first-time starter left tackle.
Yep, that is right. They've had some injuries. And, of course, you know, they had Alabama 2 weeks ago. They had that open date before Alabama after Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had Alabama and Kentucky. And, look, Kentucky is a physical defensive team. They're not very good offensively. But, you know, they're a physical team, and they've gotten some guys banged up there on the offensive line. And in the meantime, Auburn's had an open date, and they should be pretty healthy going into Saturday night.
And, Bill, do you think Georgia's as good as years past?
No, no. They're good. I mean, they're really good. They're one of the, still one of the more talented teams in the country. But I don't know that they have as many of those, man, this guy is a upper half of the first round, you know, kind of guy on the defensive line, it seems yeah. like, that they've had in the past, Don.
Yeah, I agree, Terry. I don't think their defensive line is as good, like Bill said. And their offensive line's really struggling with some injuries and youth. So I think we have to take advantage our defensive line versus their offensive line, no doubt.
Well, my goodness, when you've been desecrated by the NFL draft like they have.
Yeah, no kidding.
With Jordan Davis and the kid, the other kids of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
My goodness, gracious, a lifetime. I mean, you're talking about, you know, first round picks.
Oh, yeah. Guys at the very top of the first round. Yeah,
right,
no kidding.
Exactly. So, and the Eagles have drafted a lot of Georgia guys.
Yeah, you could do a whole lot worse than just plucking Georgia defenders. You're right, over the last few years.
Appreciate it, guys. Y'all take care.
Good hearing from you, Terry.
Thank you.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join us as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. At Reynolds Outdoors, they're all about hunting and fishing and loving the great outdoors every day. And if you are too, you'll love the great selection of guns. Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Got a couple of playoff baseball games going on, the division series going on, and right now a game in both leagues. In the American League, Casey Mize, former Auburn star and number one pick in the Major League Draft, got the start for the Tigers as they try to stay alive against the Mariners in the ALDS. It's a best of five, and the Mariners came in leading it 2-1. But and Casey pitched pretty well. He went three innings, gave up a run, struck out six, but left trailing 1-0. The Tigers tied it in the fourth, and they have teed off since then. Right now, they're playing in the bottom of the eighth in Detroit, and the Tigers leading the Mariners 8-3. So it looks like that one is about to even up at 2 games each and go back to Seattle for Game 5. Meanwhile, the Cubs trying to stay alive in the National League Division, one of the National League Division Series, as the Brewers have won the first 2 games in Milwaukee, and they scored first. The Brewers scored a run in the top of the first off Jameson Taillon, but the Cubs have come back with a four spot in the bottom of the first and lead it going to the second 4-1. All 4 games on tap tonight. Obviously, since they are best of five series, we have situations where there could be all the series could be done after today. It doesn't look like it because Seattle would have to come back from a 5-run deficit. And they only have one at bat left. But I mean, a Milwaukee win would advance them to the National League Championship Series. Dodgers and Phillies play tonight in L.A., and the Dodgers won the first 2 games in Philly. They win tonight, then they are on to the National League Championship Series. So you could have the National League set after tonight. Meanwhile, Toronto, which blasted the Yankees in the first 2 ball games in Toronto, last night jumped out to a 6-0 lead.
Yeah.
And then the Yankees scored 9 straight and won it 9-6. A lot of runs.
Yeah.
A lot of runs have been scored in that. I think the first game was 10-1. Then you had a 13-7 Toronto win. And now a 9-6 Yankees win. Not much pitching in that series. But the Blue Jays can wrap things up in their ALDS series with a win tonight. So still got a chance that at least 2 and maybe even 3 of the 4 spots for the championship series could be set after tonight.
Also, Bill, it's that time of year when college football starts again during the middle of the week.
Oh, my, that is right.
I saw today we have 47 or 48 straight days of football, either college or pro. We've got Missouri State at Middle Tennessee and Liberty at UTEP tonight.
And we got a Tuesday night gig. Yeah, we got a Tuesday night game.
And then it starts next week. Yeah, for sure.
That's, look, I've found enough other things to watch here in the fall that I don't have to. I really don't have to check football out every night.
It's going to interfere with my gun smoke. I know that.
I'm telling you. It is. You're right. It is that time of year. Again, we'd love your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports. Your thoughts on Auburn, Georgia, as we were saying a while ago, it is crazy the swing that there could be this weekend.
Huge.
I mean, an Auburn win, and I don't care what kind, but I mean, you can go all the way to a decisive Auburn win, and it would be like, oh wow, forget that road trip. Those were losses. And they were to top 10 teams on the road.
A lot of football left.
If Auburn can show that they have made adjustments from what didn't work against Oklahoma and then Texas A&M, we've talked about it. I have no doubt that they have the talent to beat anybody on their schedule.
Yeah, I agree. And, 7 games left, so it's a lot of football left. Very important game, like you said. Get this one. Get a good Missouri team who has a big game.
They have a huge game. Alabama coming in.
Now, that's an
11 o'clock game.
11 o'clock game.
But it feels like Missouri plays a ton of 11 o'clock games at home.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that, that they were undefeated.
It's a much bigger ball game. I mean, look, this is a 5-0 team that has had an open date, and Alabama coming in, and they get stuck with an 11 o'clock game.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it if I was a Missouri fan or a player or coach, but
I'm sure Eli will have a comment or two.
He'll have something to say. He always does.
Yeah. And then Missouri goes on the road for the first time next week. Auburn needs a win for so many reasons, though. I mean, we talked about how everybody will be thinking they're back on track. This team needs it badly. They need something positive. Talking about playing close and, things like that, the players don't feel any better when they play really hard and they almost win.
Almost is just what you said. Almost. It's awful. Sometimes I'm not so sure it's not worse.
Yeah. Especially when it happens repeatedly.
Right. And you keep – then you start doubting yourself.
Yeah.
And you think, what do we have to do? We're right there and something goes wrong.
And that can lead to then the next time you're in that situation, panic. You're almost waiting for something bad to happen.
What's going
to
happen?
Yep.
Panic situation. But, yeah, huge game, like you said, Bill. It's going to be exciting and the weather's going to be awesome. Crowd's just going to be unbelievable. You can already feel it in town.
It's just different. No question.
It's just different.
All right, we are approaching the end of hour number one. Got another hour. We're wide open, 334-321-1390. Love to hear from you, your thoughts on, the Auburn football. Where do you think, they stand right now? What are your thoughts heading into the Georgia game? We can talk a little basketball as well. As Jason said, now I got to double check this, but I believe the media opportunities tomorrow are going to be tough. I think we've got Coach Freeze after practice, 2 days before the Georgia game, and that's scheduled at noon. And then Auburn basketball is practicing, and we have our first opportunity to speak with some players as they get ready to have their first exhibition matchup against Oklahoma State. And I think that's scheduled at noon. So it's going to be tough to be at the football
Somebody
complex and Neville Arena at the same time. Yeah. I guess, Maybe Dan can go to one. I can go to the other. Yeah. You know, outlets usually have more than one person.
Right,
so,
right.
Anyway, we'll be able to talk about that as well. But love to hear from you as we're halfway done here on the Wednesday Drive.
Production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Dan is in Troy for the Troy preseason basketball banquet. He will be back in the studio tomorrow. Don going to be back in with us Friday, right?
Yes, for sure.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Good to have Coach Dunn back. And my wife knows that I'm on the air right now. I tried to call her during the break, though, so that's my fault. She just saw that I'd called. She
was returning
the call.
That's right.
But anyway, good to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back.
You had a good trip down to South Florida?
Yeah, I went down to Captiva, Sanibel, around Fort Myers area, did some fishing, stayed in a little place called Jensen's. It's old Florida, little cottages. Uh-huh. Heck of a deal. If you stay 4 days, you got a free boat rental. So we had two free pontoons.
Oh, that's nice.
Saved about $500 a day.
And as you said earlier, I mean, great time to go down there because, you know, it's not
no crowds.
It's not vacation time.
No crowds. You know, and you know, and once and about the end, about Thanksgiving, they'll jack all the prices up too.
Yeah.
Because all the snowbirds are heading down. So great time. We cook fish and only went out to eat twice, and so we cooked in the little cottages, had a great time.
Oh, that's great. Well, glad you had a good time, and good to have you back, man, just in time for one of the biggest ones year in and year out.
Yep.
Auburn-Georgia, the oldest rivalry in the Deep South, the 130th meeting between these two. And look, you may not believe it, but Don and I can't recall them all.
No, I've tried. Felt like I was in all of them. And, you know, Chuck used to always call me Georgia Week, and I'd be on your all show, if you remember that. Had some crazy things happen over there. You know, we were in the van the night. We got rear-ended on the way home, I was riding with Chuck and Lynn. And then some great wins over there. It seemed like we would win there, and they'd win here for a long
time. For the longest time,
as a matter
of fact.
I think we were 5-5 in the 10 years we were here. I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right. I think you're exactly right.
You know, and I remember when we were at Ole Miss, had no chance, and we upset Georgia, and that was a big, big win. And just a special game. The connections, you know, Coach Dye being a Georgia guy, being our head coach.
Coach Dooley.
Being an Auburn guy. Really strange.
Shug had gone to Georgia before he
a
was
lot
at
of
Auburn.
The assistants.
I mean, so many people in administration at both schools.
Yeah, Hugh Nall played there in a championship,
absolutely.
Coached here. We had a lot of great players from Georgia. We had a pipeline to Georgia. And you know,
Auburn has relied on the state of Georgia for talent.
Yes.
That's one thing now that Kirby Smart – you know, and I mean, he's done an awful lot of things. He's got a tremendous record there at Georgia and has owned Auburn really since, since before Kirby.
Yeah,
but I mean,
he's 9-1 against us.
Yeah, how about that? Mm. So the only loss was that regular season loss the last time Auburn won back in 2017.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
I guess. Yeah. That's
it had to be because Georgia's won eight straight since then.
9-1.
So, I mean, we were talking about it a little while ago before we came on the air. I looked at the all-time records, and, you know, this series was still tied even, in 2014. It was even. Auburn had moved out to a lead in the series. By 2006, I think Auburn had like a 53-48 advantage. Now Georgia... Georgia, what is the number now? Georgia's got about a 7-game advantage over Auburn. It's like 65-58 and 8 or something like that. See if you see the all-time records in there. But Georgia has won 17 of the last 20. And as you said, for years, this series was dominated by the road teams.
Right.
Auburn has a losing record all time against Georgia in Auburn, while Georgia just last year, Georgia finally went over the 500 mark against Auburn all time in Athens. The Georgia now has an 18-17 lead over Auburn in Athens, and that's with the dominance that Georgia has had here over the over the last 20 years. So Auburn looking to snap that 8-game losing streak to Georgia. The longest winning streak by either team in this series history is 9 by Georgia back in the 40s into the early 1950s. Georgia won 9 straight. But I remember, I can remember my mom talking about a couple of some of the biggest upsets that have come in this series. When Georgia had their Heisman candidates, Charlie Trippi and golly, who was the other guy? Frank Sinkwich. It was because she was saying that she remembered the big slogans that Auburn had was for against Georgia were Sinkwich and then Trippi.
There you go.
But Auburn pulled off a huge upset against Georgia right back at the start of World War II. Auburn just when I was in school. It was just expected. Now, Auburn's going to go over to Georgia and you're going to get a piece of the hedge because you're going to come away with a win.
Yeah.
And I remember the Georgia Valdosta quarterbacks, Buck Ballew, John Lastinger, and Auburn went in there and beat them, beat them like a drum.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn beat them, 33-13 and 33-14. Back in the late 70s.
Oh, yeah.
But then Georgia came into Auburn and would win. They got a tie one time that they shouldn't have. I guess it was 78. Because, in between those 33-13 and 33-14 wins was one of Auburn's better teams in a game that the official was so out of position at the end of the first half. William Andrews busted a long run and scored. He scored, there's no question about it, but there was no replay, there was no nothing like that, and the official was way behind the play, came down and marked the ball at the one-yard line, the half runs out, Auburn doesn't score, and the game ends up in a 22-all tie.
Crazy.
But
the early days, Bill, I'm looking at here, they played a lot of games in Atlanta early, then Montgomery, Columbus, Georgia.
Columbus, that's exactly right.
They used to play there a lot. They played there like 10, 15 years or more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was before Cliff Hare Stadium was considered big enough. Auburn played Georgia at neutral sites or in Athens.
Right.
They played Alabama in Birmingham. They played Tennessee in Birmingham.
Right.
You know, it was before Auburn was playing, getting to play their home games in Auburn.
Until 58, they played just about every game in Columbus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Does it say what was the stadium over there that they played at?
It doesn't say. It just says at Atlanta, Macon, Georgia, a couple times. Columbus, a lot of Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A long time from 1916 to 1958, they played in Columbus and Athens a couple of times. Wow.
Yeah, so this has been a great series. It's maybe hard for younger fans to
understand
that because Georgia has dominated this over the last 20 years, but you were there.
Yeah.
The last time Auburn won in Athens and sort of after that started Georgia's domination. Up till that point, I mean, it had been back and forth. There was even one point I don't recall if it was before Auburn had gotten out to that 5-game lead. Tech says it was Columbus's Memorial Stadium.
Yeah,
and said he'll call in a little bit.
Right.
He probably. I don't know if Texas is old enough to have to be able to remember going to an Auburn Georgia game in Columbus. But what was I about to say? Speaking of old enough, I just lost my train of thought.
The last time.
The last time. Auburn won over there in Athens. Mm-hmm. Was you guys?
Yeah, 2005. Is that right?
Yeah.
31-30.
That was the
goal line stand.
And well, that was the Brandon Cox pass to Devin, yeah. And the ball fumble. Remember?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh,
that was
God.
A big brouhaha over that.
Yeah.
Auburn Georgia games have had some crazy endings.
The
some
water
crazy
coming on,
endings. Oh yes.
The dogs biting people.
Yeah, Robert Baker. Yeah, Robert the Ugga trying to get Robert Baker, and the hose game.
Yeah,
there have been some crazy ones. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go ahead and get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Pat gets us started this hour. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. He mentioned something, and I just didn't really put – I didn't put two and two together. So we get the schedule with a nine-game schedule, and they give us Alabama and Georgia, which is kind of not really cool, but we're not complaining. But it is kind of a, you know, not really cool. And so then they give us Vanderbilt because, you know, but even though Vanderbilt's doing good now, but then you're telling me that now we get the four home games, I mean the five away games on the same year
that you've got
that
Alabama and Georgia
away.
See, that I didn't expect that. I didn't understand that. I don't think that is right.
Why do we allow that?
I don't know how you disallow it, but I mean, it sure doesn't make sense because when you've got Alabama and Georgia at home, you don't need three other home conference games, I don't think. And when you've got them on the road, it seems a little ridiculous that you've got three more road games with those two who have been right there at the top of the SEC for the last couple of decades.
And that's how it's going to be from here on out?
Unless Auburn can work out a way to sort of make up for Georgia coming to Auburn. Here's what I was thinking, Pat.
Any negotiation power at all on that? It was all made up. Auburn has no say.
Yeah, I don't know that there's been a big outcry enough to try to do that. I think the fact that they got moved apart satisfied. You know, quite a few people. I'm not as torn up about the fact that Georgia and Alabama are on the same year, as long as they're not playing right next to each other. But if you wanted to get it straightened back out, I was thinking here would be an opportunity to play a home game in Atlanta against Georgia and try to get things moved back off that, having them both on the home or away schedule. You know, you could do that.
Bill, am I wrong? But like, the SEC could do whatever they want. They went to nine games. Okay, they could have went to a different kind of instead of a three.
They had to have at least three quarters. I believe majority. They had to three quarters of the schools had to vote. Had to agree on that.
Okay, but my point is that when they decided who gets the five home games this year. They made their own mind up on that.
They had to. I guarantee. Okay, I mean, because
if it came from scratch.
Yeah, if we found out that Auburn said, "Oh, we don't care whether we get four or five," I think maybe what was looked at was the fact that that Auburn at the time had Baylor coming in. I mean, that's a tough situation now. I mean, a lot of schools are going to have eight home games. Auburn's going to have six games on campus next year.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, in the long scheme of things, when they're making a thing together and they say, okay, you know, you're going to get Alabama and Georgia every year, and we go, okay, well, that we got screwed there, okay, so you call up Sankey or whoever, and you say, man, you gave it to us right there, but thanks for giving us Vanderbilt, who's still good, but at least put something in your pocket, and then when they go, okay, you're getting four home games, five road games this year, you scream and say, no, you just screwed us already. Why are you getting to do it twice? I don't understand why. That should have been – we should have been given priority on getting the five home games this year.
I agree, absolutely. I mean, you look now, Auburn's home schedule next year is going to be LSU, Florida, Arkansas, Vandy, Southern Miss, Jack State. That's your home schedule next year.
Yeah, I'm just saying in terms of fairness, I don't see how the SEC could have said, okay – you're right. You got to play Alabama and Georgia on the road. So we'll give you
only two more road games. Yeah, that's the way it should have
exactly.
been.
Exactly. I don't. I think we just didn't complain. I just don't see how they would have told us no if we would have complained. It just seems blatantly unfair. I mean, that is just absolutely. They had the choice to do whatever they wanted. They gave whoever they wanted the five road games the first go around, and they chose us. We should have not been on that. We should have been given that.
Just who? Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, I was going to say. Who else in the SEC? Who else in the SEC has to play a road schedule like at Alabama, at Georgia, at Tennessee, at Ole Miss, and at Mississippi State?
Yeah, that's insane.
It is. It is crazy.
But we didn't say anything. I just don't see how we can't scream bloody murder on that. But it's too late now. But it seems like we should have totally, like, at least gotten that. And I still don't understand why do we have to give Georgia back a home game? Well, why can't they just switch it? Because okay, whatever.
Georgia played at Auburn back to back in 2012 and 13.
Who cares? Who said that there has to be a perfect separation of how many teams you play each other? That's just a handshake kind of deal. I'm saying they're just
to get it back the other way, you'd have to play at either at Auburn 2 years in a row again, or at Athens 2 years in a row. So you'd have to do one or the other.
But they could have made the schedule. They can do whatever they want. You know what I'm saying? You're saying they can't do it. Well, do we sign a contract?
Oh no, I'm not saying they can't do it.
Equal. Well, they could have done it. They could have done it.
No, I think the SEC does say that you're going to play home and away is what you're going to do against teams. Both teams had to agree on Georgia coming to Auburn in 12 and 13.
Well, it just seems like it's going to be great on the even years, I guess. But my God, it's like or on the odd years. But I mean, I can't even imagine that they would have given us five road games with the two.
No, you're right about that. There hadn't been enough talk about that. I guess folks are more concerned with 2025 and then the news about the Baylor game being played in Atlanta before they've looked at the rest of the schedule.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll just have to pray for good news this weekend.
Yeah, right, no kidding.
Guys,
appreciate it, Pat. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Patrick. ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Keeping an eye on baseball. Casey Mize gave the Tigers a good start. They were trailing when he came out of Boone, and we were talking about it a while ago. I mean, you see pitchers being pulled so quickly, especially when their teams are on the verge of elimination. But the Tigers came back and evened up the series against the Mariners. 9-3 was the final there, so they will play game five, that a siding game back in Seattle. Right now we've got a game three in the National League Division Series. The Cubs trying to stay alive, lead the Brewers 4-1 as they bat in the bottom half of the third. 334-321-1390. Love to hear from you. And let's get to the Drive hotline. And Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Bill, did you get my message about Memorial Stadium?
Yeah, I did. Now, I was saying, I don't know if you're I don't think you're old enough to remember an Auburn Georgia game over there.
No, I'm not. I'm old enough to remember blowing out my knee for the first time over there.
Oh, no, man.
Yeah.
What were you, in what? I mean, what were you playing?
Oh, I was. We played the old wide tackle six, Coach Dunn, and I was heads up on the tight end. And
okay.
We're playing a Warner Robins team that had this dude named James Brooks.
Yes, sir.
Oh my.
Blow him up.
Yeah,
man, that's back in the days when Georgia used to run that defense, and James Brooks and Joe Cribbs ran through those guys a few times.
Yes. Well. So I ran across on a play that we knew exactly what they were running, and I got blown up.
Oh.
I thought I was going to blow him up.
Oh, man.
All I could see was this 21 right in front of me, and next thing I know, I was laying flat out on the turf.
Oh, God.
So wow. It's so funny you mentioned Buck Blue and John Lastinger. I played summer ball with them both on the Valdosta Red Sox.
Huh.
So it's kind of funny. And we used to play them.
Yeah, they were pretty good baseball players, weren't they?
Oh, they were really, really good baseball players. And the key to that was back in those days, not everybody went to the playoffs. You had to win your region. And
right.
We had eight regions in the highest level, which back in that day was AAA in Georgia. So one time we went there, it was the craziest thing. We went to play in Valdosta, and we're warming up, and we had heard all these stories about playing in Valdosta and how the crowds were so big. And it was on a school day. It was on a Friday. The first game was on Friday, and then you played a doubleheader if needed on Saturday, best two out of three. There's nobody there. The game's supposed to start at 4. At 3:15, the bell rings at the school. And you hear all this screaming, and they're all running across. The entire school shows up, 3,000 kids.
Wow.
And it was brutal. It was so much fun, but it was brutal. By the way, we ended up beating them both years. And so we won it in 77 and finished second in 78. But two really good dudes who, when we would go out to play baseball up in Georgia, got to hang around with them for a little bit and spend a little bit of time. Really, really good guys. And growing up in Columbus, I'm one of the few Auburn people that came out of there.
Yeah. It's seemed like if they came to the state of Alabama, they went to Tuscaloosa.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, I just it's a great rivalry. I don't particularly care. You know, as the old saying goes, in our family, we wouldn't let, and this was Cindy made this up. We're not letting our daughters go anywhere where they bark like where the women bark like dogs. So,
that's funny. That's,
anyway, well, we're headed that way tomorrow, and we'll be up there all the way through the end of the weekend of the Missouri game. So,
oh, great.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Hope we're ready. I hope we play well. Looking forward to seeing.
I've got a feeling they're going to play well, Tex. Yeah. I've just got a feeling.
So just it's a time. Thought. I see where it's wear orange game. I don't like people to tell me what to wear.
Yeah, and I always wonder why you want to wear orange against Georgia, who's going to be wearing red. I mean, it would seem like something that contrasted a little bit more would stand out.
Well, Bill, were you at the last game? I'm sure you were. Were you at the last game where we came out in the orange, went in and
oh yes,
came out in the
yep,
orange jersey?
I sure was. That was that Tennessee?
Yes.
Yeah, sadly, I don't want to
do. Think we'll ever do it again?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think at some point Auburn will wear the orange jerseys. I would imagine there'll be a little more trim color than there was on some of those orange jerseys Auburn wore back in those days. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think I wouldn't do it this Saturday.
Well, I just wondered because of the orange game if we might try and pull that off. But, you know, it's always been a conflict or a lot of Auburn
oh, yeah.
things about changing.
Well, I think it's just because of the bad memories of the last time that Auburn did it.
Well, hey, we need something to go right for us, and maybe the orange will light.
Yeah, maybe. You're right. Auburn needs something to get over that hump. You're right.
We need to get over the hump, and I heard something talk about players making plays. We've got plenty of playmakers, and we need some to make some big plays on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to it. So real quick, where are y'all going to be Friday? Are y'all going to be on the road?
Not that I know of. I don't think so. I think we'll just be hanging out here in studio.
All right. Well, I may get what's-her-name to drop me off at the studio.
That'd be fine, man. We'd love to have you.
All right, man. Y'all take care.
All right.
Thank you.
Get what's-her-name to drop him off? Is that what he just said? Get what's-her-name to drop me off? Cindy? Or is there another one? All right, 334-321-1390. Alan is up next. Hey, Alan.
Hey, guys. I got kind of an X's and O's question for the coach. You know, Kirby, at least when he was at Alabama, he was kind of notorious for loved corner blitz. I guess it's a corner blitz, bringing mm-hmm. a DB off the corner.
Yes, sir.
Pretty sneaky about it, I guess, but you know, you could kind of see it on TV. The question is, whose responsibility is that on the offense to hopefully recognize that? Is that a line, or is that a quarterback, or the
that would bench? Be that should be the quarterback, or maybe the receiver that the corners lined up will give a hand signal or a check, knowing that he's coming to alert the quarterback or the offensive line. Probably should be picked up by the running back. A lot of times you'll see the running back, if he's the opposite side of the blitz, the quarterback will move him over to that side. But it's either the quarterback recognizing it, and sometimes they don't see it if it's well disguised. But it's normally the guy, the receiver, that's being guarded by that cornerback that's coming on the blitz. He is able to see that he's changed his alignment or he's coming, and he should alert the quarterback with a hand signal.
Okay. All right. Good deal. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Alan. 334-321-1390. We'll get one more before our bottom of the hour break. Yellowhammer. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. So, anyway, what I'd like to know is this. I don't think we're going to have a fairly decent chance of beating Georgia unless we have a fairly decent running game. And so our offensive line against their defensive front, would you all talk about that?
I think Auburn's strength in its offensive line has been run blocking to this point. And Georgia's defensive line, look, they're talented. They've been tough to run on. I think they're only giving up 80-something yards a game on the ground. So is Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Auburn needs to be able to run it. Now, like we were talking a while ago with Jason Caldwell, I don't think that means you're just going to say we're going to line up and run it on every single play. But they need to do some things to try to keep Georgia a little bit off balance, whether it be tempo, whether it be motion, whether it be, using the quarterback a little more in the run game. I think Auburn can run the ball. I mean, when you look at the numbers would tell you that, Auburn's been pretty successful. They're averaging better than 4 yards per rush, and that includes all the sacks that they've had. So they've been able to run the ball, And they're going to need to be able to do that against Georgia, so to keep Georgia from just, coming after, dropping back or coming after the quarterback and Jackson Arnold.
Well, against Baylor, Auburn had three backs who each had 16 carries, and I'm just wondering.
Right, both tailbacks like and Jackson Arnold, the quarterback.
So do you see that as being maybe a way to approach the game? As far as a run-pass mix,
Yeah, I definitely think we need to run the ball, establish the run. It's just so hard to win a game in the SEC against a quality team if you, like you said earlier, cannot establish the run. We got to stick with it. We can't give up if we have a negative play. And then that opens up the passing game. I mean, I think sometimes – especially offensive coaches, they give up too soon on the run. They panic a little bit. They think, oh, my goodness. But you just got to stick with it, and it also keeps the other offense off the field.
And wears out their defense.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. And like Bill and I were talking earlier, I think we have a definite advantage with our defensive line versus Georgia's offensive line. They got some young guys. They got some injuries. So we need to stop the run and run the football.
All right. Well, it sounds like a victory to me.
I hope so.
Yeah, no kidding. Sure do hope so there, Yellowhammer.
Thanks.
All right. Appreciate the call. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Still plenty of time for you to join in here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Coach Don Dunn. Don, yeah, I'd love to get some memories while we've got a little bit of time. If you got some about Auburn, Georgia, as you said, you guys were pretty much split.
Yeah,
with the Bulldogs.
Always a hard game, always an exciting game. And if you remember, Bill, we always played Georgia, and then the next week we had Alabama.
Yep.
So that was a tough two games, and it was always an exciting game because we had so many Georgia kids.
Yeah, and I mean, Auburn has, had almost as many Georgia players as Alabama players on the rosters through the years.
And I know Kirby's tried to shut the fences down a little bit, and he's done a good job of that. But some of our better players were from Georgia. And like you said, always exciting game. A lot of great memories. I remember, the goal line stand over there. I remember the blackout, which was awful.
Well, I mean, it started off okay.
Yeah.
Started off okay, but yeah, then it was just miserable.
And then the great, the fumble on the reception, like you talked about earlier, the goal line stand, which I mentioned.
We had the caller a while ago who talked about Ben Laird and Ronnie Daniels. Yeah. Georgia never adjusted. Just never adjusted and, like, just beat them over the top, and over we didn't the top, have a very over the top.
And that was a average team we had that year. And the kids always got up for the game, always played hard. We always had a great following over there, a lot of fans, and like they do when they come here. It's just a great college football game, and it's it was usually a pretty clean game. I don't remember a lot of crazy stuff.
You know what? It seemed like maybe the blackout game sort of started the feelings, because it has not been anywhere like it used to be, and this would be something that's really hard for some younger fans to realize. I used to really just look forward to that trip to Athens.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd have a great time, go over tailgate, hang out.
Yeah.
Everybody had a good time.
Yeah.
We'd go in, and look, both sides sort of knew that, crap, the visitor's liable to come away with a win.
Right.
Because like I said, look, Georgia has an all-time winning record in Auburn.
Yeah.
And Georgia just now, last year, moved over 500 there in Athens. The road teams, for some reason, won more than they lost.
Yeah.
And so I mean, it was a fun trip going over there, but something happened, and it has gotten much more bitter
than it used to.
I'm over the last, 15 years or so.
Yeah.
It's I guess and Georgia has won more and more, and they've enjoyed it more and more, and let Auburn know it more and more, and it's bothered Auburn more and more as well.
Right, and it should.
Yeah,
But I have nothing but great memories of that. Just very fortunate to be a part of that. The oldest one of the oldest rivalries, and the oldest rivalry in the South, and a lot of good memories and. We lost I remember they completed the pass in the end zone here to beat us on the last
my
play.
Goodness. That was one where
we should have won that
Auburn
one.
Auburn had it at the Ben Abamanu.
Yeah, and then
dropped.
Yeah,
appeared to be an easy touchdown.
And then we beat them in 04 pretty handily, 24-6. I think the score was when we were undefeated. That was a tough game. But, yeah, a lot of great memories. I remember Reggie Torbore went after somebody over there one night on one of those cold nights, and he stomped on my toe. And my toe was black and blue for about 3 months, and I finally lost the whole nail. I don't think I've had anything hurt as bad. I was trying to hold him back. And, and I remember I still have some of the hedges, an old hedge in my bookcase. That we took when we were.
Oh yeah, first. I mean that was something that we just sort of. Now Georgia, I can understand Georgia fans not being thrilled with that,
right?
Because Coach Dye, we alluded to the hose game.
The hose
where
game.
Auburn had just put the hedges in.
Yeah,
and they did not want Georgia fans grabbing some of the Auburn hedge,
right?
Back then, so. So that probably had a little bit to do with the feelings between the two sides as well.
You know, they had that little bitty locker room. You had to walk up that hill to the buses, and we always bussed over. So stayed in Atlanta or outside, more toward
was it with you guys that that some Georgia folks really gave you a problem, or maybe it was before y'all and Auburn was staying in Athens. There was one time where Georgia folks found out where Auburn was staying and
kept them up all night.
Oh yeah,
that happens. No, we always stayed around north of Atlanta, headed somewhere I don't know where, as close as we could be to Athens. It was about an hour and a half drive. I remember those windy roads in there on that bus. Wow.
Yeah. There was no easy way to get in.
No, get out. But it was sure fun when you won, and tough when you lost that game.
Yeah, and it just feels like forever. And I guess, you know, it's because it's been since 2017. But Auburn has beaten Georgia, and they beat them pretty handily. And, you know, we were talking about it a little yesterday, but that team, I guess, was 6-7-2 coming in, but there were still questions about, you know, how good was Auburn. Then they beat Georgia and beat Alabama at home and moved into the number two spot in the BCS standings and were set to be there in the playoff until they got beaten in Atlanta in the SEC title game.
Yeah. That was a good team.
Yeah.
But you're right. That was the last time.
Yeah, so Georgia looking for win 9 in a row over the Tigers on Saturday night. And yes, I am sure that it will be a great atmosphere.
Great weather.
You know, pregame and leading into the game.
All day long.
I don't know when the ceremony for the retirement of Cam's jersey is going to be, whether it'll be
half-time
pregame or halftime.
I don't know. I have not heard.
But that's on tap on Saturday night as well. So, I mean, it should be a great atmosphere there. That's why I was saying with Jason a while ago, Don, that, I mean, I just feel like if Auburn could do something really, you know, to really big early, I mean, get a turnover for a score, just do something to just really get the crowd into it to make it even more difficult for Georgia.
Yeah, you're right. We need to have something good happen where we're not saying, oh, no, here we go again. Someone just texted me, said the jersey retirement will be at halftime.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it would probably be at halftime.
Yeah.
So you sure hope that you know, Georgia seems like Georgia and Alabama both have that knack. Now, it seems to be more Alabama when they play each other. But, I mean, have the knack of being able to come up with a big play just before halftime.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, when you look at that middle eight that everybody talks about, you get a big play, either a big stop or a score just before halftime, and invariably it seems like you're going to get the ball to start the second half. And, you know, that's the thing. I mean, Auburn needs to get off to a quick start, but I think they also need to have something that where the crowd is really excited going into halftime,
right,
before you get into the Cam retirement, right, and everything.
Right, no doubt. Just, you know, confidence, if nothing else. Like you were talking earlier, don't get to that point where, oh, no, something bad's going to happen again. And just go out and play. Run the ball, stop the run, turnovers, all the things we always talk about. The kicking game's going to be crucial. Field position, all the things that it takes to win a game. And we just got to take care of the football, go out and have fun. Play relaxed, enjoy the moment. It's going to be a great atmosphere, great weather, you know, just loud as can be. And, you know, national TV, great weekend for bringing in recruits. I'm sure we have some big-time recruits coming in. It's a great
It's good. It's going to be a huge night as far as recruiting. Tomorrow we'll have Justin Ferguson with us. We can talk a little bit about that and look at the some of the players that are coming in. But this is huge. This is a big opportunity after those last two losses, which again, I mean, I know they really hurt Auburn fans and obviously the team. But if you get that great atmosphere and then get a great performance on Saturday night, you really will open eyes of a lot of recruits that'll be on campus. So I think it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, that nothing better than to have a big crowd, national TV atmosphere, and win when you have top recruits on campus, and just get the feeling, be in that locker room, celebrating with them. It's just a great opportunity for all of us, and just got to take advantage of it. Go out and, like we said, play. play your, you know, your best, play hard, play smart, and do all the little things, and it'll take care of itself.
Just can't wait for Saturday night. It's hard to, it's just Wednesday. It feels I guess coming off an open date.
Yeah,
open it just dates. Feels like, come on, let's play.
I never liked open dates. I know they're good for getting healthy and all that, blah blah blah. But I never liked an open date, and especially you win. Okay, let's get back and win again. You lose, it's the longest 13 days of your life. And it's awful.
Yeah. So, so again, 6:30 this week. We've got a 6:45 game next week.
Yeah, two night games
against Missouri. Love to hear from you. We'll go ahead and get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in. 334-321-1390. Let's see. We told you the Tigers have forced a game five in the AL division series. The Brewers have scored a run to cut the Cubs' lead to 4-2 as we head to the fifth inning in Game 3 of that National League Division Series. Brewers looking to wrap things up. Cubs looking to stay alive and move it to Game 4 in Wrigley Field tomorrow. We'll get to our final break of final break of the show. Things have moved on pretty quickly here on the Wednesday Drive.
Now open in Casita, Alabama, Clubs and Hatchets, a fun and relaxed
drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment here on this Wednesday, and let's get back to The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Anthony is up next. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Great, thanks.
You know, earlier in the week, an announcement was made about the Baylor game being moved to Atlanta, and what
right.
I'm seeing that, you know, is in the future to come, as far as the Iron Bowl, you think anybody like maybe the Citrus Bowl or any bowl games that are usually played in the state of Florida, I'm talking about Thanksgiving week, might want to have like a Thanksgiving classic or some kind of special every so many years that they might approach the University of Alabama and Auburn, giving them something like a Sugar Bowl type payout for both teams to every so many years come down and play and spend a whole week down there with your fans and everything, spending money in those communities and enjoying the entertainment down there. You see that as anything being attractive?
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, I think that a lot of schools are going to look at this. I mean, I know right now, you know, this hurts for folks here locally, and I would really think that the most appropriate thing or the most the thing that people would like the best would be it to be a game that you don't even know about that's not already scheduled at your home that's going to be played at some place like this. But no, I think there are going to be other schools that are going to go, hey, this is an opportunity, especially if Auburn's able to get back, if the athletic department's able to get back enough of what they would normally get from ticket sales and concessions and parking and things like that, plus get that extra $5 million in NIL to go for football and basketball or wherever they want it to go, then I would think that, yeah, there'd be plenty of schools very interested in doing something like that.
Because, you know, if you think about it, Iron Bowl is probably – now, you know, you got other rivalries we watch on TV or whatnot, but the Iron Bowl has probably become one of the biggest of all of them, I would have to believe. You know, I might be a little biased because I'm an Alabama fan, and plus I follow Auburn as well, and you guys are probably biased too because, you know, you follow Auburn, love Auburn, but I got to believe it got to be the biggest rivalry game of all rivalry games.
Oh, yeah, I'm never going to argue that. I argue with people that want to talk Michigan, Ohio State, or Notre Dame, Southern Cal, or
no
whatever.
Comparison. No yeah. comparison. Yeah, you're right, Anthony. Being involved in that game for 10 years, there's nothing like the Auburn-Alabama game. I don't care. You know, there's some great rivalries, like you said, but that's the best.
And, you know, with people being on vacation that week for Thanksgiving or whatnot, some of them be down there fishing, some of them be at the beach or enjoying family and several activities. But then you throw the game in, too. that right there is a win-win situation. You got other people from other places also would like to be there live and see something like that. So I just thought I'd throw it out there that I think probably in the future that every so many years or so, maybe every 3 or 4 or 5 or whatnot, that maybe they might get an invitation to do something like that.
It's not a bad idea with the way the revenue is, you know, going now, and these schools needing the money for the NILs and the and paying the players. Might be a great idea. It's something to think about. Great, great idea. Great call.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Good hearing from you, Anthony. Yeah, I mean, there are going to be others. I mean, I know that there are a lot of people right now, and Lane Kiffin jumped in on Auburn about
he needs to worry about
you know. I mean, I understand it is tough when it's next year, and there are already folks that have made some plans. We were hearing yesterday about some folks that that Auburn people had met out in Waco that had already had reservations here in Auburn.
Ooh,
you know,
I didn't think about
for
that.
Next Labor Day, and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, because, I mean, it's going to be a whole lot different when it's Labor Day weekend and there's not a football game.
Yeah, that's going to be an empty town with the students gone, like you said, Bill, and if you're not at the game, you're going to be at the lake or you're going to be at the beach or – getting that last weekend in before school starts and summer's over. So, yeah, I don't like it myself, but, you know, like you said, it is, and like Jason said, it is what it is, and that's the times that we live in now with the revenue sharing and the money and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. So
it's just like I don't like college teams playing on Friday night.
No.
I hate it. It's high school night. I don't care if anybody likes it or not.
Yeah, but I mean,
but money talks.
You're right; it does, and it's louder. It speaks louder than it ever has.
Yeah, unfortunately, but that's right. You're exactly right,
Don. I'm glad you could be in. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, thank you. Look forward to seeing you guys on Friday.
Oh yeah. Now again, tomorrow Dan will be back. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer will be joining us as well. And we look forward to hearing from you. That's going to wrap things up for the Wednesday drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.